Okay, I also want to thank our sponsors, Torah Or. Thank you for your generosity, and the Frolich Financial Group, as always, for supporting our afternoon kollel and our base medrash. I want to pick up where we last left off. At the end of the last year, we rushed a little bit the next sugya, which is a very important and fundamental one. So I want to go back a little bit, review what we saw, and expand upon it. We're in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. Towards the bottom, I should say, of Lamed Amud Aleph. The end of the narrow lines. Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chanina. The end of the most narrow line going into the first medium line. The Gemara said the following. Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chananya. We are coming off of the sugya that discussed the conflict between getting married and the obligation of learning Torah. We then went into the question of responsibility of teaching Torah to children, grandchildren, hiring a malamed if one cannot teach directly. How do we know about the intergenerational obligation? And we discussed last time, what is the obligation? What is the shear? What's the measurement of Talmud Torah that one is obligated to teach their children / grandchildren, grandsons, I should say. Right, we discussed, does it also apply to grandsons through a daughter, or only grandsons through a son? A machlokas between the Baal HaTanya, the Shach, and the Kesef Mishnah, and so on. So what is the measure? How much Torah must be taught? And that goes to a more fundamental question, which is, how do you define how much Torah you must learn? What is the nature of the chiyuv of Talmud Torah? So we're on the bottom, the last short line. Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rabishur Bechananya. My dechsev v'shinantam levanecha. What does it say? We read in Shema v'shinantam levanecha, to teach your sons. What should the word be? Not v'shinantam. Shinantam is a peculiar word to use here. We don't use the word shinun to describe learning, teaching. What word do we use? The shorosh of lamed mem dalet. To be lomed, lilamed, milamed, lamad. So it shouldn't say vishinantam levanecha, it should be velimantam levanecha. Why vishinantam? So the Gemara learns, al tikre vishinantam, ela vishilashtem. Don't read it vishinantam, but instead interpret it to mean vishilashtem. Why? What's the connection between vishinantam and vishilashtem? What? Okay, so then means sheni, two, not the shilashtim. Why interpret the sheni to be shalosh? Okay, we'll come back to that in 1 second. So the Gemara says, don't read it vishinantam to your sons, but rather vishilashtam, namely, liolam yeshalish adam shnosav, a person should divide in three. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud, a third dedicated to Torah shebichsav, to the written Torah, a third to the Mishnah, and a third to Talmud, independent from the Mishnah. We'll have to define what Talmud means. So ask the Gemara, miyada kamachayai, how could you anticipate the length of your life and divide by three? None of us get a memo when we're born telling us how long we'll live. How do you know? Says the Gemara, lo tzricha liyome. It doesn't mean divide the length of your life in years. It means divide days. And ostensibly right now, days means days of the week. Rashi, liyome, yemei hashavua. Divide the days of the week. So Sunday, Monday, Mikra. Tuesday, Wednesday, Mishnah. Thursday, Friday, Talmud. Shabbos. Chazara, or Shluf, Menuchas Shabbos, says, you know, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that if you learn all week long, you could rest on Shabbos. If you work all week long, then Shabbos should be spent learning. So however you designate Shabbos, but take the days of the week, divide by three, and allocate appropriately. Fine. That's the end of this sugya. The next sugya, the Rashi, Machlokas are showing him whether the continuation is a new sugya, or as a continuation of the sugya, but this is a good natural place to break. So, we quoted last time, Baruch Atah Adonai, Elohim Melech Olam, Shehakol Nehyu Barum. We quoted last time A machlokes here, Rashi and Tosos, the Rambam. Let's get back into it a little bit. Rashi said, "Ela v'shilashdom liyomei sar yemei hashavua." Liyomei meant not divide the length of your life by years, divide the days of the week: Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tosos didn't like that. Just a reminder, again, we did it last time. Tosos says lo tzricha liyomei. Tosos defines yomei differently. Perish mekuncha shemei Shabbos klomer sheni shnei yamim mikra shnei yamim mishnah shnei yamim gemara v'lo nehira dimken akati avam mitzvah lemifrach miyado kamechaye. That interpretation doesn't alleviate the Gemara's earlier problem, because if you don't know how long you'll live in terms of years, you also do not get a memo telling you which day of the week you're going to die, so that you can allocate your week properly in terms of your learning. So Tosfos says, how does it help to say divide the days of the week? Who knows? So Tosfos redefines, or Tosfos understands the Gemara differently. Liyome doesn't mean days of the week, but it means within each day, divide your time. A third of your learning on Mikra, a third of your learning on Mishnah, a third of your learning on Talmud. Al came beseder of Amram Gon, Kamashon and Oigim Chayom, Kodim Sukkah, the Zimmer, Lomar, Mikra, Mishnah, Ugemara. Part of Birchas HaShachar, we learn from each of these. We read Psukim, we read Mishnah, we read Gemara, in order to fulfill. Now, it doesn't really fulfill unless your total learning for the day is a minute and a half long, and you've divided the minute and a half equally between the three areas. Hopefully, the learning you'll do a day is much more expansive than this. So maybe it's somehow a remez, it's a hint, it's a reminder to the obligation to tap into each of these three areas each day, but it doesn't speak to the issue, excuse me, of dividing your time. That the Rabbeinu Tam quotes in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Talmud Bavli is called Bavli not because it was written and composed in Bavel. Why is it called Bavli? From the Lashon, the language of Belula. What does Belula mean? All mixed up, blended together. Because what's in every page of Gemara? You can't pass one page of Gemara without encountering what? Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So says Rabbeinu Tam, we don't actually allocate neither years of our life, nor days of the week, nor hours of the day equally to the three different areas, but we fulfill this mandate by learning Talmud. That's why the emphasis has been through the years that we don't dedicate ourselves. There are exceptions and there's no criticism of this, but the minhag in yeshivas is not to sit and learn Tanakh, nor is it to sit and learn Mishnayos. The custom in yeshivas and beyond is the base medrash is filled with the sounds of Talmud Bavli to fulfill this mandate of Liolam Yishalish Adam of Vishinantam Ella Vishilashtam. We also mentioned last time, how long is this obligation? Shinantam Vishilashtam, was the Gemara's intention to be in perpetuity forever? Or it just means, again, we're defining what the father's obligation to the child. You get a child started by getting them some traction in each of these areas. But once you can learn on your own, you no longer need to allocate proportionally in these ways. All this we talked about last time. If you look in your handout, the first handout, before we go weiter, if you look at the last page of the first handout,
which is the first?
The one called Dividing Our Time. Shir I gave on Shavuos many years ago. I left the evidence right there on the cover page that this was an old source sheet. So if you look at the last page, you'll see Pachad Yitzchak Shavuos, Chav Ches. See it? Maimer Chav Ches? The last page of the handout called Dividing Our Time is a Maimer from Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner, the Rosh Hashiva of Pachad Yitzchak, of Chaim Berlin. And the author, it's not really the author, it's the author of the ideas of Pachad Yitzchak. Anyone know who actually wrote Pachad Yitzchak? Who took Rav Hutner's ideas and composed them into the language we have it in the series Pachad Yitzchak? It's a very poetic, beautiful Hebrew, difficult Hebrew. Anyone know who created the sophisticated volumes of Pachad Yitzchak? I don't know this firsthand, but this is what I understand, is that it was Rav Hutner's daughter, Bruria, who was actually the one who published, who published Pachad Yitzchak. Again, I don't know that firsthand, but that's what they say. Not in yeshivas, but that's what they say. Okay, so said Rav Huttner here in Pachad Yitzchak, he has another beautiful interpretation of this Tosfos that we just saw. Everyone have a copy? Have a copy, Dan? Where are the copies? Any extra copies lying around? There's copies over here. Okay. So says Rav Huttner, I don't know if we'll read the whole thing inside, but let's start. Ayin kedushin daf lamed al tikre v'shinantim el v'shilashtim yolim shal yishodim shnosim shlish mikr shlish mishna shlish b'talmud. This we've seen so far. V'yaviyu tosa shem rabbeinu tam donu shoskim b'talmud bavli dayenu. We learn Bavli, good enough, don't open a Tanakh, you don't need a set of Kahati, all you need is your Shas Bavli. Kyubola b'mikra b'mishna b'talmud. Kedamrin et Sanhedrin. Bava b'lula b'mikra b'mishna b'lula b'talmud. Adkan divir Rabbeinu Tam, azay zog taisvas. This is Rabbeinu Tam, we fulfill this mandate by learning Bavli. Ubepshuto nira, da'achshan yotzini de'shilash ha'idei ha'blula sh'b'talmud Bavli, ha'ina mishim sh'm buvayim sh'am psukei mikra v'har b'mishnayis. Says Rav Huttner, the simple understanding of Rabbeinu Tam is, as I said earlier, you can almost not encounter a page of Shas without reaching a Mishnah, without reaching a Pasuk, a Mishnah or a Brisa, Tanaitic literature, and Talmud. We'll have to come back to define what Talmud means. So the simple understanding is, it means quite literally, you encounter these three areas of study within each page of the Talmud Bavli, which is Mevalbe, mixes them all up together. But if that was Rabbeinu Tam's great einfall, if Rabbeinu Tam's great contribution is to say, we fulfill the mandate by learning Bavli because you have all three represented there, what do you have to quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which validates that in fact the Bavli is interspersed with all three? Einenu rose, empirically, just look. Start taking, learning the Daf Yomi, and within a week you'll realize that every page of Shas has Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Why does Rabbeinu Tam, to bolster his opinion, need to quote the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan in Sanhedrin? The whole chidusho of Rabbi Yochanan who lidros is shmo shel Talmud Bavli, ashem ablilus, aval be'etzem uvdas ablilus lo chidush Rabbi Yochanan klum. Rabbi Yochanan's chidush in that Gemara Sanhedrin is that the reason it's called Bavli is not because it was composed in Bavel, although that clearly is involved. But the reason it's called Bavli is it's Mevulbal in all three. So Rabbi Yochanan wasn't being Machadish that all three are represented in Shas, Bavli. He's Machadish that's why it's called Shas Bavli. So Rabbeinu Tam has this insight. Why can't he just say, we learn Bavli and we encounter Mikra Mishnah Megillah? Why does he have to reference Rabbi Yochanan? The fact that the name is because it's Mevulbal doesn't at all help that we're Mekayim Liolam Yishali Shoda. So that's Rav Huttner's question on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam can arrive at his suggestion just empirically looking at a page of Gemara. What does he need to quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Rabbi Yochanan to bolster this chiddush that you could be Mekayim Liolam Yishalish Adam by learning a page of Gemara? V'im kein, eiza shaychas yish lamemid Rabbi Yochanan im dvarav sh Rabbeinu Tam. What in the world does Rabbeinu Tam's suggestion have to do with Rabbi Yochanan in Sanhedrin? Yes.
It's a small point, but just the fact is the name Bavel itself, the country, was named because of the mixing up of the languages.
Correct. In other words, the name of the country, Bavel, is the UN. It has all the languages, so it's a play on the same theme, which is all mixed up.
Maybe the Hamamina was that you would think that it was called Bavel because it was written in Bavel.
Agree, but why do we care about that for these purposes? That's for the Gemara Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush is why it's called Bavel. But Rabbeinu Tam is just trying to say, the Gemara said you have to be a Shalish Adam. Says Rabbeinu Tam, do it by learning a page of Gemara. What do you have to reference? The name of the Gemara that all three. In other words, it's as if you can't trust Rabbeinu Tam that there's Mikra Mishnah and Gemara on every page. Unless, and how do you know that? Minahani Mile that there's Mikra Mishnah and Gemara on every page. Ayin Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan, that it's called Bavli because all three are on every page. I know all three on every page. Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush had to do with the name of the Talmud. What is that relevant for Rabbeinu Tam's point about being Mekayim Liolam Yishalish Adam? That's Rav Huttner's question on Rabbeinu Tam. Yes. Oh, good. The second question on Rabbeinu Tam is, that the Gemara's conclusion was the Olam Yishalish, divide in three. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. It sounds like you have to allocate equally. So even if you want to say all three are represented on the Gemara, but there's not a third of each daf psukim and a third of each daf brisas or mishnayas or a third of each daf talmud, so that's a good question on Rabbeinu Tam. But it didn't bother him. Okay, Beis. Sorry, minimum. You had a question before.
No,
I'm sorry.
A question. I'm just an observation. As a minimum,
yeah,
you are yoitze all three from out when you do the tefillahs.
Yeah, that was earlier. That was what Tosfos quoted from Rav Amram Gaon. That we reference on all three. Yeah. Beis, go weiter in a footnote. Amnam nirulon lefarish dvar shabbeinu tam. Behektam apirish bememar, Rabbi Yochanan atzma. Says Rav Futner, I'll explain the answer to this question. I'm not even sure. I know I just tried to pose it as if it's a great question. I'm not sure it's a great question. Sometimes Rav Futner asks a question because it's a hecha timtza to give you his answer. The question's not such a great question. It's just a pedagogic tool. If I get up and tell you a pshat, it's interesting. But if I build it up, I have a great question. There's a tension. It needs to be answered. So now, the answer is not just a nice idea. It's an answer to resolve a great question. So says Rav Futner. Member Zusha Rabbi Yochanan Bohi Litain Tam Al Torah Bavli Shiniskana Bo Talmudin. Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush in the Gemara Sanhedrin is to give a name, to explain the name of Shas, Bavli. V'yazdehu Omer, the Torah Zesha Talmudin Bohu Mishorash Ablilus. And he said the Shorash, why it became our Mesorah to call it the Talmud Bavli, has to do with the Blilus. Says Rav Hutner, I don't understand. Our whole notion of the Talmud, what is Talmud? Let's take this apart. Psukim or Psukim? Mishnah is the Torah Shabbat Peh on the Psukim. What's Talmud? The Maso Matan of what? What's the discussion of?
The Mishnah.
What about the Mishnah? What appears after almost, I won't say almost all, many Mishnayos and Shas? The Mishnah and Shas gives us a din, and the Gemara comes along and asks either Minolan or Minani Mile, which means
the
Mishnah, you just told me based on Torah Shabbat Peh that there's a din. Minalan, which pasuk? From which verse in the Torah do we know to derive or extrapolate that law? And then what does the Talmud get involved in? How to expound the exegesis of the psukim. How do I know what the law is? How do I extract it? What is this nuance? What is that letter? What is this? Can we compare all the tools and instruments that were given to Chazal in order to take apart the Torah Shebichsav through Torah Shabbat Peh to understand it? So, wonders Rav Hutner, Talmud Adidon Unikra Bavli Hashem Ablilus Yitachen Lios Talmud Mibli Tchunis Ablilus. It sounds like from Rabbi Yochanan that in theory one can have Talmud that doesn't have combined Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. What would that Talmud look like? To us, Talmud, the essence of Talmud is the elucidation of the Mikra and the Mishnah. That's what Talmud is. So what is it? To our Talmud, our Talmud is called Talmud Bavli because our Talmud has within it Mivul Baal, Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Well, what do you mean? What other kind of Talmud is there? I understand, but Talmud by definition has the integration of the three. It does. It's not called Yerushalmi. It's not called Bavli. For it obviously doesn't have that same emphasis. So he says, "Mashmum is that the Yechen Lios Talmud Bli Tchunas Blilus." V'zeh Bilti Muman. Komitz Yusha Shal Talmud Bono Yuha Yisodei Amishna V'Divrei Amikra. Keitza Yitachein Talmud Bli Tchunas Ablilus Shal Mikra Mishnah V'Talmud. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan is Machadish, ours is called the Talmud Bavli because it's Mivul Baal, suggests, implies, you could have a Talmud which is not Mivul Baal, which to us is an anomaly. What would that Talmud look like? Elish Yiduim Divrei Rashi. Shamusag Talmud Kol Alu Besocho Shnei Chalakim. Umusudorim Im Shnei Chalakim B'Mishna Achas. So you have to understand Rashi, says Rav Hutner, that the idea of Talmud, I had a lot I wanted to get through, but I guess today we'll be glad if we get through this, Rav Hutner. Okay. Hamusag Talmud Kol Alu Besocho Shnei Chalakim. Talmud has two parts. And there are two parts organized in a Mishnah. The Maseches Avos. The Tanan has the Maseches Avos. Ben Chamisha Sol Talmud. We know that 15 La Talmud, right? 5 for Mikra, 10 for Mishnah, 15 for Talmud. V'yachakach Tanitana Ben Arboim Labina. So the Mishnah is listing off which ages are you ripe? At what age are you designated, or what age are you ro'oi for different insight, attribute, learning? When can you grasp different things? And the Gemara says, 5 for Mikra, 10 for Mishnah, 15 for Talmud. And then it says, when do you have Bina? At what age do you arrive at Bina? 40. Hayna shechelek harishon da'ala kamar, Tana ben Tezva v'Talmud, akavon li'idah tami ha'alachas b'kitzer. So, if the Bina only comes at 40, what are you doing between 15 and 40? You're able to start, or the appropriate time to start learning Talmud is at age 15. But you only have insight, Bina, at 40, Ben Arbaim. What's happening from 15 to 40? Says Rav Huna, you know what's happening. You're learning the reasons for the halachas b'kitzer, taima shakol halacha b'mekoma. You're learning the basics of the halacha. Ve'achar kach mafiyo achelak hasheni shel Talmud. Dehainu havanas davar mitoch davar. Hadimoy milsa lemilsa. Riboy apilpo be'imke ha'inyonim. So, basically, from 15 to 40, you're accumulating what? Information. Lots of yediyas. You have to know information. What are the lamites malachos? And what are the different levels of tumah? And how did Meiser and Meiser Risha, Meiser Shea? First, you're saying, how does that work? And there's a mitzvah. What are the basic mikdash? Right? There's a million pieces of information to have basic literacy. We'll call it literacy. 15 to 40, you're gaining literacy. But what comes at 40? The capacity for analysis, the capacity to contrast, the capacity to extrapolate, the capacity to delve into the depths of the categories and themes of Torah. The Alzeka Amartana ben Arbaim Labina. Velod El Shinir Shekach Mefarish Rashi Yachtamina Begemara. Ligmar Vahadalisa Lizmar. The Gemara uses a language, sometimes Ligmar. First, learn the halacha, and then Vahadar Lizbar. What does that mean? Don't they go together? First learn and then learn. What does it mean? Ligmar. Learn and then learn. Says Rav Huna, there are two independent levels of learning. Ligmar haynu achelik harishon shebechokhmas haTalmud shu yedios tamei halachas b'mekoma shekol halacha v'halacha. First, you have to know what's the halacha. What pasuk is it based on? How does the halacha apply in different circumstances? Is there a machlokas what the halacha is? You need to gain some yedios. You need to gain some facts. Only then, when you've accumulated and amassed basic working knowledge and literacy of halacha, only then can you engage in the exercise of analysis and extrapolation and of lumdus. I remember after my first year in Israel, I went to Keren Biavna, and I had a dear friend who went to a different yeshiva. And we learned that summer, after our first year in Israel together. And I vividly remember, we were learning Arvei Pesachim, the 10th parak of Pesachim, what we learned last year. We're on the first daf of the first day of learning, and we saw a halacha. And we had come from very different styles of learning that first year. I was in Keren Biavna, its style of learning, and the other person had it from a very distinctive style of learning. And like within the first line of the Gemara, he said, okay, let's not look further. Let's not, before we can even look at the Rishonim, let's try to come up with a hakira about what they're arguing about in the Mishnah. Let's try to identify. I said, why would we do that? We don't know anything from anything. Let's keep going. Let's gain the basic knowledge, and then we can go and we can analyze. He said, no. The way you learn a sugya is, we saw the Mishnah, saw the first line of the Gemara. So now we have to try to imagine every possibility of what they're arguing about, and then we'll look in the Rishonim and we'll fit in all of the different possibilities we imagine they could be arguing about, and that's what the Rishonim must have been saying. We entertained his suggestion, and we basically, from the boich, just imagined, maybe the Chakir is about this, maybe the Chakir is about that, maybe the Lamdus is this. Then finally we agreed to go weiter. And within the next couple dapim of the Gemara, it became very clear that we had no clue what we were talking about, that you needed the information and the tools and the Gemara that was about to come before you could begin to possibly suggest you know anything. So you know, there's a lot of pressure for lumdus. Lumdus is intellectual gymnastics. It's fun. It's wonderful. And you'll hear people varf up svaras and lumdus and chakiras all the time. You know, they're offering there. But you need to basic literacy. You have to know something. Because this great chakir you came up with, little did you know, there's a gemara elsewhere which makes clear that your chakir is not a possibility. Or that makes clear that that's obvious, with the, and so on and so forth. So that's what the Rav Huttner is saying here. There's two levels of learning. There's literacy, there's knowledge, there's yediyas, there's basic facts. And then you can get into the business of compare and contrast and analyze and dissect and find common themes. Umeata afana nema nami nema. The zeu perushim shal divrei Rabbi Yochanan. The Talmud Bavli haynu ashema belilus. Haynu de Rabbi Yochanan bala lamdenu ki betalmuda didon ein shnei achalakam ha'ela shal chochmas ha'talmud muvdalam ze mizeh. Kol echad betchumo. So says Rav Huttner the following, bless you, very big chiddush. Says Rav Huttner, until the Talmud, Bavli, there were separate independent disciplines. Tanakh was a discipline, Mishnah was a discipline, Talmud was a discipline. And you had to go in order. You had to complete the Mikra before you could do the Mishnah, complete the Mishnah before you could do the Talmud, and only age 40, when you had the ideas under your belt and you had the literacy, now you can engage in the intellectual gymnastics. Came along Rabbi Yochanan and he tells us, our Talmud is called Bavli, not just Mivul Baal, that technically each daf of Gemara happens to draw from all three disciplines, but rather that the design of our Talmud is to integrate the three disciplines, that you don't need to master one before you can move on to the other. So in other words, Bavli is not just describing a technicality that every page has a reference, but it's describing the very design, the very curriculum, the very pedagogy of every page of Talmud by design. What Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush of why it's called Bavli is not just to, again, before our Bavli, what would you do? You'd learn all of Tanakh, then you'd master all of Mishnah, then you'd learn all separate disciplines, separate curriculum. Ours is an integrated curriculum. You're learning and mastering all of it at the same time, not as separate disciplines. So Rabbi Yochanan was not just, you know, saying something that we could all empirically see with our own eyes. He was giving us an insight into the intention of the Baalei HaMesorah in the way that they composed our Talmud. It's a chiddush. You used to have to master Mikra, then master Mishnah, then master. Now they integrate it all together, that you just learn the Bavli, and through it, you are accessing and being exposed to all three at once. All three at once. Ela shel amito shel davar klulam im betalmud adidon, shnei achalokim shel chochmas ha-Talmud ke-echad. מתוך ריבוי הפלפול של המסה ומתן בהשוואס הסוגיה זו לזו ובהבדל הסוגיה זו מזו ובסמיכס הסוגיה זו אגב זו דברי תורה עניים במקום זה ועשירים במקום אחר הוליכו תלמוד לדידון ונעשה לים התלמוד אשר כל גל וגל שבו מסערב עם חברו ומסמזג עם חברו. So if you learn the daf, you just saw this. We had a statement of Rabbi Chanina that Rov Ukarov, which one is Adif? What wins, Rov Ukarov? Rov beats Karov. And the Gemara then draws from halachas all over the place. Let's talk about Hilchas Nida. Let's talk about with the show, you find the bird lost. Let's talk about, the Gemara draws from Mishnayos all over. What do you mean Rov is better than Karov? Over here it sounds like Karov is better than Rov. Over there it sounds like Rov is only better than Karov if it's Rov Matsui. What do you mean? So within every page of Gemara, says Rav Huttner, is not just that you happen to reference all three, but you are achieving all three within the learning of every page. You're learning Mishnayos while you're learning Mikra while simultaneously you're learning Mishnah, while simultaneously you're experiencing Talmuda, namely the exercise of compare, contrast, extrapolate, learn. So what happens? Ours is called the Yam HaTalmud. It's the ocean of Talmud. Kogal v'gal shabo, every wave in this ocean, misari v'mchavero. It's all interspersed, it's all intermingled, it's all overlapping. U'mikan novea Torah bavli Hashem abelilos. And that's what it means, it's all intertwined. All intertwined doesn't just mean that there are references on every page. It means the experience of its learning is intertwined. U'mikemen sheyesh kan chok shel belilos, memela kol ha-mikros ha-mishnayas va-svaros ha-utros bo, nivlolos heim bo. Let's just finish it and then I'll hear your point. So now that we understand Rabbi Yochanan was not just giving a cute chiddush, oh, it's called the Bavli, because you happen to have references to all three. No, Rabbi Yochanan was explaining the style of curriculum, the design of education, the experience of learning, how the Bavli was set up. Now that we understand, Rabbi Yochanan was saying it's called the Bavli because it's mivulbal, it's an educational observation. So now we can understand Rabbeinu Tam. But vada in kavanasa shel Rabbeinu Tam lomar dekevan demiskarim b'talmudam psukim mishnayos gemara on mekayim b'hamdina tishlishim el dekavanasa hilomar demeachar shemetzuya biyadeinu chefte de Torah kazu asher tchunas habelilas atzmas hiba nenela dayninan ba shikula miksha achar shel mikra mishna v'gemara. We asked before, how can Rabbeinu Tam say you're fulfilling Yishalish Adam? You're not. Every page of Gemara doesn't have an equal amount of Sukkim, an equal amount of Mishnah, an equal amount of Gemara. How can you fulfill Yishalish Adam? Says Rav Huttner, what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that the whole mandate of Yishalish Adam was when the disciplines were separate. So you have to divide your time between Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, three separate disciplines. Divide your time equally between the three separate disciplines. But now that we've integrated the disciplines into one, and you are experiencing learning them all at once, so it's not that you're Mekayim, Yishalish Adam, because all three are referenced on one page. It's that there's no longer a chiyuv of Yishalish Adam. That the essence of Yishalish Adam, namely to master the three disciplines, is achieved now by learning the one discipline. Yeshlanu, he says, we have a Me'achar Shemetzi B'deinu Chefze de Torah Kazu. We have a new discipline of Torah. Talmud Bavli gave us a new Chefze of Torah. Till now, you had a bookcase that had a Tanakh, you had your Kahati or your Yochanan Boaz Mishnayos, and then you had a Mesorah from your Rebbeim about how to mix it all up. But first, you had to finish Tanakh, then you went through your Yochanan Boaz Shas Mishnayos, then you were Roy, 40 years old, to say, let's start the Lumdus, I'm ready. Says Rav Huttner, that all changed. Now at 15, you're ready to jump into all three at once. It's not a separate curriculum. The curriculum is combined. We have a new chevtza of Torah called Shas Bavli. The Shaper Miskayim Mayada Limud Mikra Limud Mishnah Limud Gemara Bebas Achas. So now we fulfill all at once. Ukeachad Vezesh Achidus Rabbeinu Tam. Dirak b'shosh and tzrich l'kayim liman mikra b'fnei atzmo and mishnah b'fnei atzmo and gemara b'fnei atzmo rak az nemra ha'chasa d'shilish d'haynu shekolima b'fnei atzmo yispos l'shilish avam yesh lonu heich atimtza shalima shloshtam b'bas achas lo nemar klal shir d'shilish v'havein. Okay, so that answers the question earlier. How could Rabbeinu Tam say you're m'kayim yishalish? It's a cute thing, Tam Bavli has psukim and Mishnah and Gemara, Yimekayim by learning, but it's not what happened to Shlish, Shlish, Shlish. It has to be allocated equally. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no, the Gemara's mandate, Yishalish, was only when we learn the discipline separately. Now that we learn them together, integrated all at once, you no longer have Yishalish, or you could be Mekayim Yishalish by learning the Shas Bavli all at once. Rav Huttner writes elsewhere, but expanding on this exact same theme. He answers a different question. Why is it that we... HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't write down my Torah Shabbat Peh. We're not going to spend the time now, but there's a good 6 or 8 reasons why. Another time. Rabbi Mordechai Becher here, I don't know, 12 years ago, once gave a shiur about that topic. If Hashem said, I gave you a Torah Shebechsav, and I gave you a Torah Shabbat Peh, I gave you the written Torah, and I gave you the oral Torah, who are we? We wrote down the oral Torah, we nullified and we undermined exactly what he designed and what he wanted to achieve by maintaining a Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, why did he want a Torah Shabbat Peh? Doesn't Torah Shabbat Peh lend itself to distortions and perversions? The game of telephone, ruining the accuracy of the Mesorah. So why would Hashem want to make his Mesorah vulnerable to distortions? Why did he want a Torah Shabbat Peh to begin with? But whatever the reason was, though Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Though Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, "Eis lasos l'shem meferus sarasecha," the time demands that I have to record the Torah Shabbat Peh. But what happened to the idea? So you know what Rav Futner writes? Along the same lines of everything we just read. Says Rav Futner, no. Why did Hashem want a Torah Shabbat Peh? Because what can happen if everything is Bichsav? If it's all Bichsav, what happens? Who needs a Rebbe? What do you have to come to Shir? You take your art scroll Gemara, you move to a deserted island where there's no Jews to Haki Chandik, there's no people to fight, to argue, to debate, politics, life, the OU, women rabbi. Who do you have to argue? Who needs it? Take your Shas Gemara, go live on a deserted island, be by yourself, you've got all of Torah there. By maintaining it Baal Peh, what is it automatically requires, says Rav Futner? A Rebbe, a Mesorah, Shalshelas HaKabbalah of a Mesorah. You need to have links of a chain, continuity, a Rebbe to learn from. So, if that was the original idea of Torah Shabbat Peh, because Baruch Hu says, I gave you the text, but now you need cliff notes to the text. You need to know how to read between the lines of the text, the tradition of the text. You need a teacher. You need to become part of a community of learners. So if that was the original intent of Torah Shabbat Peh, what happened? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi authorized writing it down. He didn't actually write it. He collected the different notes of the different Batei Medrash, and he is the one who redacted and edited the Mishnah. Wasn't that lost with the Mishnah? Says Rav Futner, no. The Mishnah was written. You know, if you're trying to learn Mishnayos with your kid or by yourself, you come to realize that Mishnayos are really hard to learn. Ikar chaser min ha-sefer. Like, without the Kahati, without the art scroll, without the whatever Yochan Nebuah is that you like to learn, learning Mishnayos are just rashi prakim. Mishnayos are written in outline form. An outline is great when you went to the lecture. An outline is great when you have the full expanded version. An outline is great when you're sitting in class and you want to follow and you have the outline. But can you learn the outline on your own? So says Rav Futner, the outline, Mishnayos, were written in a way that allowed us to not forget the Torah Shabbat Peh. The outline is there. But designed in a way that would require you to what? Continue to have a Rebbe. Okay? So then they started to lose the tradition about what the outline is meant to say. So they had to write. Ravina Rav Asher came along and said, we're losing the tradition of what, how you understand the outline. It's too amorphous. It's too generic. It's too inaccessible. We need to expand. We need to record the proper tradition of how to understand the outline. And what did they therefore author? The Gemara, Talmud, the Bavli. And here a Futner comes back to the point he makes here. So they said, but what's going to happen? I'm going to have a Bavli, and it's going to be so clear and easy and elucidated, you're going to run to the deserted island with your Bavli, and you're not going to need a Rebbe. So what did Ravina and Rav Asher do in the way that they organized the Bavli? They made it all Mivulbal. There's nothing organized about the Bavli. If you want to look up a din, you have no idea where to look. One of the most important sugyas of Hilchos Nida appears in Masechta Shavuos, which has nothing to do with the holiday of Shavuos. Has everything to do with oath. Taking a Shavuah, an oath. You have to know where to look. If you look at Shas, if you learn the Daf, you say to yourself, this is like ADHD on steroids. Can't you hold one thought? Can't you get through one amud of one page and just maintain a thought? Just get to the conclusion of this thought of where you started? It's ADHD everywhere. Every third line is, oh, that's another, that reminds me of another thing. Oh, let's go over here. Let's bring in from over there. Oh, this is, you know, to the point that Rishonim often debate, as I referenced in our own sugya. Rishonim often debate, why didn't we get to this next topic? Oh, it's the same Baal Memra. It's the same person who said the last topic said this topic, even though he said about apples over there, and we'll quote about oranges over here, just because he's the same one who said it. Oh, why is it similar? Rishonim will come along and try to explain how we got from point A to point B. They're debating it. That's how elusive it is, how you got from point A to point B. Says Rav Futner, all of that is a continuation of the design of preserving the original intent of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because guess what? Now, I don't know what percentage of the people learning the Daf have an art scroll, and they still go to a Daf Yom Yishir. Because even with the art scroll, you need a Rebbe. Bavli is written all Mivulbal in such a way. I just walk around holding this all day. I don't drink from it. It's written Mivulbal in such a way that you still need to have a Rebbe. Okay? So that was Rav Huttner's, it's a big Chiddush. From Rabbeinu Tam, the way we learned the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam was just saying a technicality. Ah, the Gemara says a third Mikra, a third Mishnah, a third Gemara. Oh, we learn Bavli, it's Mivobav, Rabbi Yechon, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you have all three on one page. Shine, it's enough, learn that. Comes along, Rav Huttner says, no. Rabbeinu Tam's observation was not that every page references all three categories, but that the entire Chevtza of Bavli is a different Chevtza of Torah. It's not three independent disciplines. It's one integrated curriculum and discipline that carries it all. That once the Bavli, Shas Bavli was closed, it created an entire new way of learning Torah. It's a radical, Futner wasn't afraid to say radical things. It's a radical new interpretation into Rabbeinu Tam. Yes?
Yeah, I think I did.
It's a good question. We're going to come back to that if we have enough time in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. He says that exact. What is Talmud? Mikra, I understand. We all know Mikra, even though I don't necessarily understand. Does Mikra mean Chumash or does Mikra mean Tanakh? Remember, we had that machlokas, Rashi and Rambam earlier, what the father has to teach the child. Just Mikra, not everything else.
According to this.
And Rashi and the Rambam, and a machlokas, is just Mikra Chumash or is just Mikra all Tanakh? Maybe you have the same machlokas here.
According to this, we see Tanakh all over the Shas.
That's true, you see Tanakh everywhere also. So whatever it is though, it's just, we know what it is. Chumash, or it's Tanakh, it's one book. Mishnah is Torah Shebaal Peh. What's Talmud? So Shulchan Aruch HaRav wants to say that's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, and he gets into exactly your question in understanding the two levels Rav Huttner was alluding to, so hold on to it, we'll come back to it. Yes?
The whole explanation you're saying doesn't. I mean, now we have the whole Gemara. Now it doesn't even matter, because what was the point? They should have a third of Mikra. So you should know the Mikra. You should know the Mishnah. Like people can learn Talmud Bavli and they're ignorant of almost all of Tanakh and almost all of Mishnah.
Right. So according to Rav Huttner, that's okay. Meaning, according to Rav Huttner, until we had a Bavli, you had the first master Mikra and then master Mishnah, and then you're up to Talmud. But now that we have a Talmud, you learn what you learn from the Talmud suffices.
Not paid anymore to learn.
But we had already. You learned already. At 5 years old, you learned your Chumash.
You said
your
Shalish.
Correct, but the Kiyam of your Shalish. Maybe. Right.
Means to say learn those things.
Right.
Every day.
So right. That's why I said it's a big Kiddush. It's a big Kiddush of a big Kiddush of a foot. Okay.
Nobody should think also of the
correct. That's the idea.
Especially if you're not using the.
That's the idea. You know, if you look in the first volume of Art Scroll, the first volume of the first Art Scroll, you'll find like a third of the volume are Haskamas. Rashi Yeshiva Rebbeim wrote treaties, dissertations as Haskamas. Why? We all take for granted that Art Scroll is a wonderful contribution, that every base medrash in the world has it, and that is no debate or controversy or scandal around it. But that's not true. When Art Scroll said we are going to translate the Bavli and make it accessible to everyone, you don't have to speak a word of Hebrew, you don't have to understand a word of Aramaic, you don't have to be a Shomer Shabbos, you don't have to know how to open a Siddur, but you'll be able to buy one of our volumes and read our holy Torah Shebaal Peh. It was an enormous controversy. Enormous controversy. It's part of what got Rav Steinsaltz into trouble. Rav Steinsaltz got into trouble not just because he changed the Tzuras Hadaf of the Gemara, he added Nikudos, he expanded on the Gemara in the margins, but that's also, he got into a lot of trouble for a lot of different reasons. But you know, they started translating the Steinsaltz Gemaras into English, and you know where they're being sold? In Costco. You go to the book section of Costco, you could buy Steinsaltz, I don't know, anyone have seen it? In the Costco book section, you could get Steinsaltz Gemaras in English. Now, this controversy, it wasn't controversial by now, but it reawakened because last week they announced they put all of Steinsaltz Hebrew English online. There's a website and an app for your phone. Free. There's a lot of apps that could have Shas, but this is Steinsaltz Hebrew English on your phone, on an app, online on your computer. You have Torah Shebaal Peh at your fingertips. So the first article, when they made this decision, what it was all designed to have a Rebbe. Now you did it in English. So that's why every Rosh Hashiva, post-sake of the time, wrote, go back and look at the first volumes. You'll see long, long, long haskamas to explain why it's okay, why they support it. Not everybody did. If you research the issue, you'll see there was opposition, and it was considered very radical that they were willing to do that. And all that comes from here and from this discussion. Now we mentioned, how do you get from Yishalish Adam? How do you get from Vishinantam to Vishilashtam? Vishinantam to Vishilashtam. So, if you look in the handout, dividing our time, I wanted to go through all these sources about Talmud Torah, defining Talmud Torah, because this all comes from our sugya. But if you look at the Pnei Yoshua, which is on 1, 2, 3, 4, number 16 in the handout. Yeah, that's the easier way of doing it. Thank you. You look at the Pnei Yoshua. Omer of Safra, the Gemara had quoted Rav Safra Mishum Yoshua ben Chanina, ben Chananya. My dechse v'shinantam v'necha, atukar v'shinantam v'shilashtam. Merely the forest of the Pshuta Mishum, the Milashon v'shinantam, yafinam b'samach shiyu divrei Torah mechudadam b'ficha. Right, the Gemara is going to continue by learning that Vishinantam is the same lashon as shinun. Shinun is the same lashon as chidud, mechudadin, which means sharp. That Torah needs to be sharp in your mouth. Al tegamgem. Tegamgem is a word which is, isn't the English, what do you say, automatopoeia? When a word sounds like what it's supposed to mean, that's automatopoeia. So tegamgem means vegam, vegam, vegam. Means that someone says, what's the halacha? What's the law? Where does it say? What's the pasuk? Vegam, vegam, vegam. You're just stuttering and muttering and... No, al tegam gem. It should be mechudadim beficha. It should be shinun. It should be sharp. V'hainim idaloksev v'limadatam. It doesn't say the more classic word, lamed mam mem dalad, ela v'shinantam, shu loshon shinun, v'loshon mishnah. V'im kein sulam atzinu l'meymar, delo ayri kroy ela b'torah shebechsav, kidichsev la'el minei. So in other words, when the pasuk says Vishinantam levanecha, what do you have to teach vanecha? I might have thought, if it just said vili maritem, I might have thought what you have to teach your children is Tanakh, Torah shebichsav. But the fact that we're going to learn from Vishinantam that it should be mechudadim beficha means that what was it talking about? V'lashem mishnah yikain sulam matzim lemer delo ayri kroy ela b'torah shebichsav. So when the Gemara says it has to be shinun chidud al tegam game, it must be talking about Torah Shabbat Peh. How do you arrive at Torah Shebaal Peh if all you're teaching your children is Torah Shebichsav? Elamai, don't read it Vishinantem, but read it Vishilashtem. Meaning, according to the Bnei Yoshua, the drush is not a play on the actual word. Right? Sometimes you have a drush that's a play on the actual word. Al tikre michamocha ba'elim, ela michamocha be'ilmim. It's a play on words. Sometimes the drusha, al tikre, is a play on words. Don't read it. Bonaich ela bonaich. Al tikre, it's a play on words. Says the Pnei Yeshua, here, don't read it vishinantam ela vishilashtam. It's not a play on words, but it's a substitution based on the context of the word. Since later we're going to darshan, vishinantam means shinun chidud, which must be referring to Torah Shebaal Peh. Well, how do you teach your children Torah Shebaal Peh unless Vishilashtem, you learn Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara? So that's how the Pnei Yeshua arrives at. That's how the Pnei Yeshua arrives at what the drusha Vishinantem means Vishilashtem. Others disagree. The Marsha and the Levush say, look at the pasuk that comes before. What comes before Vishinantem Levanecha? Learn them well until they're in your heart. So when it says Vishinantam, which was Vishinantam like Sheni a second time, it means do it a second time. You have to learn it again until it's in your heart. So it sort of said Vishanisem with one. Why does it say Vishinantem, two nuns? Why doesn't it say Vishanisem? So it must be that the nun is double to tell me a third time. And that's how you get at Vishinantem, 2, 3. So it's, if Vishinantem comes from the language of Sheni, so then it should have said Vishanisem. Vishinantem, the extra nun, tells me not just a second time, but a third time. That's how the Maharsha and Lavush arrive at the Drasha. How do you get from Vishinantem to Vishilashtem? Rashi says, Midaloksi Vishanisem Sheyashlishem. But how? So that's the extra nun. Right. That's what the Maharsha is going on, Rashi. Yeah, 100%. Well, that word in general means different, and it means repeat. It means both. It means both. Okay, so that was in terms of how you arrive at the drasha. Look at 19 in that handout. You should go back and read all these other sources because they're fascinating, they're inspiring about our chiyuv of Talmud Torah, how far it has to go, how much we have to learn, and so on. But look at, by the way, source 8, go back to source 18 for a moment first. We mentioned that our Tosfos here in Kiddushin references the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon that were Mekayim Vishilashtem by our Birchos HaShachar. But Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Yates says it even more explicitly. Look at source 18. Yishal Yishadim Shnosav Liyomei So we read the psukim of the Korban Tamid, then we read the Mishnayos, the whole parak of Ezu Mekoman, and then we read the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. And that's how we're Mekayim Yishalish Adam. The Mikra is Parshas Tamid, the Mishnah is Ezu Mekoman, and the Talmud is the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. So it says it, what we had, but even more explicitly. The Rambam source number 19. Chayev l'shalish azman l'midaso. A person has to divide the time of their learning. Shlish b'torah shebasav, shlish b'torah shebapeh, u'shlish yavin v'yaskil achar is dover merishiso. So the Rambam is defining Talmud differently than we have until now. Till now we talked about Mikra is either Chumash or Tanakh. Mishnah is the discipline we know as Shas Mishnayos, and Talmud is what we know as Talmud. But the Rambam defines it differently. Rambam says a third is Torah Shebichsav, a third is Torah Shebaalpeh, and what's the last third? Yavin v'yaskil. Well, like Rav Huttner was saying, is not just literate to become literate on the subject, but to engage in analysis of the subject. V'yotzi davar midavar, extrapolate and extract. Yid me davar ledavar, compare and contrast. V'yavim b'midos ha'tor nedreshes b'en ha'chi yidah heyachu ikra midos v'heyach yotzi asar v'amutr ki yotzi b'midvar shalom b'yashmua. In other words, if you're going to really learn well, you can't just memorize the facts. You have to understand the methodology. Because not every halacha, not every situation is going to appear in Shas. You have to know how to take precedent, how to analyze, how to compare, how to bring evidence, how to prove, how to ask. All of that is the third area, which is the area of Talmud. By the way, when the Rambam defines this chiyuv of Talmud Torah, Yishalish just says how many hours, says what you do with the time allocated. But how much hours, how many hours do you have to allocate? So look what the Rambam writes in source 20. Kitzar yabal umnus vayosik b'malachto. So what happens? How do you, what's your obligation in Torah learning if you have a job? So what should you do? If Nebuch, you have to work 3 hours a day and learn 9 hours a day. So assuming you're able to do that, because that's obvious what you should be doing, work 3 hours a day and learn nine. So 3 hours, learn Chumash. Shalosh b'Torah shebapeh, u'shalosh achiras mizbonim b'dayta lahavin davar midavar v'divrei kabbalah b'chalal Torah shebichsav hein u'perushim b'chalal Torah shebapeh. Divrei kabbalah here does not mean Zohar and Kabbalah. What does the Rambam mean, divrei kabbalah here? Nach. V'nyanam anikrim pardes b'chalal ha-gemara. Pardes is esoteric Torah. Is Kabbalah, is there an obligation to learn Kabbalah? Is Kabbalah included in the Yishalish Adam? So here the Rambam says, Paradise, Pshat Remez Drash Sod, is included in Gemara. Medvam Amur Metchilas Tamud Shel Adam. And when is all this true anyway, that you have to divide your time, allocate it equally in thirds? When you're beginning to learn. So once you've reached a certain level of learning, then you know you go back to Tanakh every now and then, but you're no longer designating a third of your time. Now your time is compare, contrast, lumdus, learning, and so on and so forth. Okay. What is the paradise he was referring to? The Rambam spells it out in the fourth parak of Hilchos Sodei Torah, source 21. What's the halacha? Source 22, Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, Resh Mem Vav. Chayav Adam L'Shalash Limudo, Shlush Torah Shebachsav, Aino Arba V'Esrim. So the Shulchan Aruch defines, what's the Torah Shebachsav, what's the third of Mikra? The 24. What's 24? It's not a series on TV, it is Tanakh, the books of Tanakh. Shlish b'mishna, da'ayna Torah Shebapeh. Upirushay Torah Shebachsav b'chlazeh. Shlish b'talmud, ha'ayna Sheyavim Jaskal Acharis Davar Mishu. So he quotes the Rambam verbatim that it's a third Torah Shebachsav, all Tanakh, a third Torah Shebapeh, what we call Mishnah and Gemara, and a third Lamdus, and so on. Ketzed, ha'yabal umnasos b'malachto gimoshos. And then he goes on quoting the Rambam again that if you have to work, Nebuch, you work 3 hours a day, and you learn 9 hours a day. Just as an aside, we have a letter of the Rambam, where the Rambam spells out exactly what his schedule was. In one of the Igros Rambam, he's writing and he says, I wish I could get back to you, but I'm so occupied and preoccupied, and I just have no time, because here is my day. I'm a doctor, I'm a consultant for the Sultan, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, and Nebuch, I have almost no time to learn. So, he contradicts exactly what he paskins is the halacha. So either it's the ideal halacha, but he couldn't, or it wasn't even true. He was mishanam neshalom. He really wanted to spend time learning and publishing, and he didn't have time for the nudnik, so he just wrote, I'm so busy and I have no time. I don't know, but the Rambam in his Igeres is inconsistent with what he paskins. I'll just end with this insight from Rav Volbe. The great mashkiach, Rav Volbe in his Alei Shor, talks about what a person should learn. Surah Sayyehudi. What is the surah, the image of a Jew? What do you need to learn? What are the building blocks of being a knowledgeable, literate Jew? So he writes, Rav Volbe, look at the third paragraph. Zeh Tzayir Omer Al Daito V'Unigash L'Aniach Zisod Lo'olam Yaruchni. He's not talking about being Mekayim, the Rambam's, or the Gemara's Yishalish Adam. I'm just bringing this as a corollary. So the young person wants to know, what should they learn to have strong foundations of a Torah Hashkafa? What should the curriculum be? Chayev Lahakir Arba Mekoros HaMesugolim B'Yosef Livnos Adam Ayudi. These are the four things that you should designate your time to learn to have the foundational building blocks about what it means to be a Jew. Number one, you got to know how to live life. You got to know what the rules are. So you have to learn all of Orach Chaim, that area of Shulchan Aruch, together with the Mishnah Berurah. We have, before Mincha every day, Stuart Silverman gives Mishnah Berurah Yomi, part of a Mishnah Berurah cycle to complete the whole Mishnah Berurah every couple of years. You got to know the whole Mishnah Berurah. You have to know Orach Chaim. Number two, Chayev Lirchosh Yediyah Rechava B'Torah Imperish Rashi V'Ramban. You got to know Chumash. Can't be an Amaretz. It's nice that you're quoting Gemara here, Gemara there, Gemara the other where. You got to know basic. You got to go basic chumash. You know, in the old days, Rav Shechter used to give the bechina to get into his kolol in YU, the afternoon kolol in YU. So one of the questions he famously used to ask is, "Can a woman be a nazir? Can a woman be a nazir?" So a lot of the boys would sit and they try to clear. Is a nazir a mitzvah shazman grama? Is a nazir shazman grama? Why is there a li? You know, try to clear exactly the lumdus about could a woman be a nazir? And he would look at the boy and what would he say? What's the pasuk?
Isha,
Isha, Isha, Isha, yeah. The pasuk for nazir begins Isha, Isha. And his point was, you want to get into the kolal, you got to know chumash. I sat in Rav Shech Tashir for a number of years and continued to consider myself a Talmud and listen to his. And he had tremendous. Rav Shech Tashir is a Baki in Tanakh. He's a Baki in Kol HaTorah Kula, but he cares about Tanakh. He cares very much about Diktuk, the knowledge of Diktuk, and the application of Diktuk in understanding Torah and Halacha. And if you ask him what his basic, every shiur, I don't know how he did it. I guess they still do it. Rabbi Shabta, they still do it. Shiur in YU, when I was in Rav Shech Tashir, was 2 hours a day. 2 hours a day in an ADD world. I don't know how anyone sits 2 hours a day. But if you ask Rav Shech Tashir, in 2 hours a day, he quoted from everywhere, all over the place. I used to get goosebumps in shiur because he was quoting from all over by heart. It was just incredible. But if you asked him what is the essence of what he's trying to accomplish as a teacher, like his Rebbe, the Rav, who called himself a simple Malamed, Rav Shech Tashir would say, I'm just trying to teach the halacha. So we start with the pasuk, and we get to the Mishnah, and we get to the Gemara, and we're just trying to understand. But he always emphasized seeing how the halacha came and originated from the pasuk. You got to go back to the basics. So says Rav Olbe, you got to know Chumash with Rashi and, interestingly, the Ramban. You know, in the Sefer, I forgot what it's called, the interviews between Chaim Sabato and Rav Lichtenstein. What's the book called? Mivakshe Panecha? Something like that? I think it's in there that they just put it out in English. Gush. So I think he asks in there, I think it's in there if it's not somewhere else, they ask Rav Lichtenstein, if you were, hijacked and you could take one sefer with you, if you were dropped on a deserted island and you could have one sefer with you, what would it be? What would it be? You know what his answer was? Ramban al HaTorah. Very interesting. That was Rav Lichtenstein's Zatzal's answer, Ramban al HaTorah. Number three, Lichash Labakiyas Yisod Zasechas Avos in Rabbeinu Yonah. How can you be a good Jew if you don't know Pirkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yonah? And number four, you got to know Mesilas Yesharim. These are the building blocks of what you have to learn. Different than Yeshal Yeshadam to divide your time between Nikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, but it's an interesting corollary. That's why I brought it for you. Okay, we got through the first 5 minutes of what I thought would take 5 minutes. So next time, you can either save the source sheets or I'll bring them back next time. But we'll see how the Alter Rebbe understands the Machlokas Rashi and Rambam. What is the Shlish B'Talmud? How do you define Talmud in the Shlish B'Talmud? And the Alter Rebbe's understanding about whether Kabbalah is included in Shlish B'Talmud. Do you have an obligation to learn Kabbalah? And then we'll get into why we don't learn Tanakh. And we got to wrap this up so we can go weiter in the Gemara from here. Have a fantastic day, everybody.